other. Hello, good to see you all. I'm so happy to see you all. May the peace of God be upon all of you. Let us recite aloud. Kumi Ori, rise and shine, and evangelize, spread the word to another person. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Today is the Thanksgiving Day for the year. It's a time for us to reflect upon it and count the countless grace that He has given us. And to commemorate the event, we have displayed the fruits, as you can see in front of me. And if you visit the first floor of the church, you will see the children expressing their gratefulness by displaying their works and the events that they have prepared for you. Please go and see. And tonight's sermon, we will renew the spirit of Thanksgiving by giving a special sermon and a special event. And thereafter, we will prepare for the Christmas sermon. We will have some events and rituals to mark a special day. Last year, I'm sure that you were surprised with joy, and there are those who may not have partook in the event last year, but if you haven't, I hope that you will have a chance to partake in the this year's Christmas event. Book of Exodus, chapter 23, chapter 16, will contextualize to a teaching. The title is, Observe the Feast of Harvest. Within the context, we will share the word. Thanksgiving Day, Feast of Harvest. It starts from the Feast of Ingathering in the Old Testament to the Israelites has given us the subdivisions for the seasons. It can be divided into three, and another subdivision is seven divisions. Feast of Ingathering is the conclusion of all the other feasts. The subdivisions for the seasons, it is the like a Gantt chart that displays the timeline of our salvation, how our salvation from the beginning, from the outset, is sequenced into the fulfillment of our salvation. It starts from the Passover and it concludes on the Feast of Ingathering. From the Passover, the works of salvation starts there. And on the Feast of Ingathering, it concludes. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, and it originates from there. And Feast of Ingathering is where the fruits of that sacrifice is revealed. And that is when the salvation becomes complete. And today's main text teaches us of the two subdivisions, Passover and the Feast of Ingathering. Let us read together, verse 16. You shall keep the Feast of Harvest of the first fruits of your labor. All what you sow in the field, you shall keep the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. Feast of Harvest. It refers to after you reap the first fruit, you pay thanks to God. And Feast of Ingathering marks the end of the year. After you have harvested, out of your gratefulness, you pay thanks to God. And you host a feast. The Feast of Ingathering today, God tells us to observe the Feast of Harvest. What is the objective? He's telling us never forget the objective. Always remember it. What must we not forget and remember? There are three components. First, the Feast of Ingathering. The Israelites in the Old Testament, God has promised them up to the point of entering the wilderness of Canaan and the 40 years that they languished in, is telling us to remember God in the time of wandering. Book of Leviticus, chapter 23, 42, 43 verses, God tells us how we are to lead our lives in that state, living temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. Tabernacle is a tent. You will reside in it. He continues, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites living temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Not a home, but a tent. And let your descendants know this. God dictates to them. The Israelites in the Old Testament, when they entered the wilderness of Canaan for 40 years, they lived in that state, in the life of tabernacle. As they were marching toward the goal, they did not lead a sedentary life by establishing a home. What they would do is fold and unfold the tabernacle. And like an itinerant, they wandered in the Canaan wilderness. And Feast of Ingathering, it allows us to simulate the time of the Old Testament when they led this life for us, when we commemorate this. For 7 days, you would erect the tent and you go through the simulation so that you can experience what they had gone through at that time. We do not establish a permanent home on this earth to remind us that our eternal home, permanent place of domicile is in heaven, not on this earth. And toward the eternal home, we are marching forward. And do not forget this. And this is why we are celebrating the Feast of Ingathering. And in the New Testament, God continues to remind us of this. Book of Hebrews 13:14. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Second advent of Jesus Christ. At that time, we will be taken up to heaven. This is a temporary home. It's an ephemeral home. And our main goal is to gaze upon the eternal home waiting for us. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Peter 1:17. We are itinerants. Our place of permanent domicile is not here on this earth. Peter 1:1-2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Who are these exiles scattered throughout? Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. It is speaking of the congregants here. We are wanderers, itinerants. All of the forefathers led the life of an itinerant. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they from God received the promise that they would be allotted with the land, and they received it. But while they were on this earth, rather, they did not receive it. All they received were the place of their tomb that would bury them. Because our eternal home is up in heaven, our native land of heaven. God promised us of that land, not the earthly home. And on earth, they led the life of an itinerant. On this earth, there's no place of permanent residence here in this temporal life. It's not that way. the eternal home. We are to transfix our gaze upon the eternal home. And while we gaze upon the eternal home, we are to lead an itinerant life. He's reminding us, be mindful of this without fail. And this is the first objective of the Feast of Ingathering. Let us not forget this. We have no homes that will provide us with the eternal home. We are a wanderer. We are scattered exiles. Let us accord with the word as we obey the word daily. Without fail, we march forward. We have rich fruit from our toil, and our riches accumulate. At times, because of this, you get complacent and you want to have a permanent place of home on top of it. The life of the itinerant is easy to lead a sedentary life because of the comfort the earthly riches may provide you with. This is why God is commanding us. You, right now, you have accumulated the riches, but in the barn, do not take comfort in it. Because of the, on the vineyard, it may seem very comfortable to you. Do not take comfort in that, but come down to the tabernacle and live under the tent. He's telling us the comfort, the riches of earthly life provides you with. Do not live that life. Let us forever gaze upon the heaven and be on the path of leading the life of the tabernacle. Do not forget this. God is commanding us in the midst of our comfortable life. I'm sure that you at times wanted to take comfort in that forever. We may have forgotten this. I'm sure you have. Let us reawaken the gratefulness and what our main goal in life is, and gaze upon the heaven wherein our home is, and let us reawaken the thankfulness once again. Secondly, at the end of the year, after you store the riches in the barn, who gave it to us? It is Yahuwah our God. Never forget this. And by His grace, we were allowed to have this kind of riches. Deuteronomy 16:13-15, He commands us, celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows. At the end of the year, the riches, when you harvest the crops, all of the fruits of your toil. Of course, your physicality is what engender all of these riches, it may seem. You have pulled away, yes, you have studied hard, you worked, and you sedulously pulled away. But you have to be mindful of the fact that without God, this could not have been done. You may have plowed the land, be that as it may, God is the one who shined upon you on the earth for your seed to grow into a life, and has sprinkled life on top of it so that you can have a life form on earth. Do not forget this grace of God and be thankful invariably. You tore it away, you have sown the seed, but God is the one who allowed the seed to grow into a life so that you can harvest the crops. You have to recognize and acknowledge God to the full extent. You must remember God. This is the second goal of the Feast of Ingathering. This is why we are here. You have worked hard for the year, and your children have studied hard, and the parents worked hard nurturing the children, helping them, and rearing them. and combat of spirit that is marking your workplace. You worked hard at work, and you have evangelized, and to save another soul, you have assiduously marched forward. But let us never forget, we may have toiled away, that God has worked through us. It was God who has fueled our energy, that He has imbued our spirits with the powers to work. God has allowed us to have rich full endowments of earth. Let us always be thankful of this. Let us not even for a moment, without God, it could not have been executed. It was God. Without His grace, we could not have done anything. You may have studied, but He allowed you to study. You toiled away, but He allowed you to toil away. You have evangelized and conducted some missionary work. It was God who empowered you. What we have, our possessions, what we have achieved, all of the toils and the fruits, all of that, we're all done by God's grace. Let us remember this and recognize it, and before God, pay you thanks. If you honestly reflect upon your achievements, it was all done because of God's grace. All of your possessions, God has given it to you. Let us not forget this. All that you are relishing, enjoying on this life, it was God that has allowed you to do so. When the poem was written in the book of Psalms, praise the Lord my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Always be thankful, something to the effect. In you, amongst you, have you ever thanked God for the earth that you are living in? And the water, and the earth, and the sun, and the moon. Sun that governs over day, and moon that governs over the night time. We are living in the midst of all of that. For us, God has graced us with all of these natural things. We have to be thankful of this. And always be thankful. God has parted the Red Sea. His powers are eternal. And the God has uplifted us from the damnation of darkness. We must not forget this. This is a great grace that we have received. And He allowed the Israelites to go across the land. Be thankful for everything. He has promised of the eternal life in heaven. This is a great grace. And He has given life to all that is physical. He has promised us of the life in heaven, and according to each to his need, He has afforded us with the endowment so that we can live on. We have only thing the subdivisions of the seasons that God has told us, they are all to commemorate God, so that we are always thankful. Why is He commanding us of this? Because we relapse into being ungrateful. We forget to be grateful. God graces us, but we relapse into forgetting, and we become delusional. If this is the case, only corollary is for you to destruct. You will be devastated. From the land of Exodus, they were redeemed. And God looked over them, kept vigil on them. When there was no road, He opened the roads for them and broken the rocks so that they can drink out of it. They can drink out of it so that, and also they will be protected from the harsh weather. They were attired accordingly. God has granted, given them the grace. But they relapsed into forgetting all the gifts that they have received from God. They were resentful. And what happens? In the wilderness, they distrust. If you are unthankful, you will distrust. Book of Romans. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. By contrast, if God has you in His grip, and you are, if you are under His auspices, God all of the things that they need to be thankful for, one at a time, it is enumerated. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. In our lives, there is not a single thing that He does not look over and has His hands in. In Daniel, he in soberness, the orders of the king, and he knew that by rejecting the command, he would be thrown into the lion's den. In that state, he paid thanks to God. He says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He foresaw his imminent death, but he was not resentful. He paid thanks to God. And Paul the Apostle, without fail, was always thankful to God, regardless of his hardship. Regardless of the extremity of his hardship, even when he was in prison, he was always thankful to God. The Bible tells us of the same commands. Be thankful invariably, regardless of your station in life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, just as members of one body were called to peace, and be thankful. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please believe that your victory is a foregone conclusion. It's a fait accompli that has been promised to us by God. And knowing that, let us be thankful to God. Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pastor John, I don't know His will. You may ask me, what is God's will? But God has definitively told us what we need to do. We have to take the posture of forever being thankful to God, He tells us. Corinthians, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, nor we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. Let us be thankful. Let us reflect upon the year that we have lived and give our thanks.
Let us remember these blessings. This is the second meaning of the Feast of Ingathering. And this is why we have congregated here before God. Lastly, the Feast of Ingathering is also, we have received salvation, but knowing that our salvation will be completed in the future. This is another objective. During the time of Second Advent, parishioners will be congregated and there will be a treasure stored in the heavenly barn. And this is why he's reminding us, because of this ultimate aim, we are to commemorate on the ingathering feast. God promised us that the Redeemer will come to us, and it is reiterated in the Old Testament. And the promise was fulfilled by sending Jesus Christ to us. And upon Him coming to earth, He sacrificed Himself to redeem our sins. And when He ascended, after He resurrected, He promised us again that He will come again, that the second advent will transpire. And when He comes again, this is when the spirit of the harvest will be fulfilled. And the spirit of the harvest will be executed at that time. All of the harvest will be stored up in the barn, and our true Thanksgiving day will happen, and He will allow us to partake in it. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus tells us. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. When He comes, it will be the day of the harvest, and the congregants with substance will be afforded with the wheat, not a chaff. Congregants on the veneer, they may look like a congregant, but in reality, when they are not at the core, then they will be treated as such. His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The inauthentic congregants will be winnowed out. At the time of Second Advent, at the day of the harvest, concurrent to the salvation being fulfilled, it will also be a time when the chaff and the wheat will be demarcated. Today, we are together, the wheat and the chaff, in a manner of speaking, are together. But at that day, when Jesus comes again, you will be distinguished away from each other. The good seed and the wheat, they are right now conflated and are together. But at the second advent, it will be winnowed out. Authentic, truthful congregant and the fake congregants will be demarcated, and the chaff will be forever thrown into the hellfire. Then what congregant must you be? You have to be a sheep, a true parishioner. You have to become, preserve, and uphold the Feast of the Ingathering. The objective of this command is for us to be fully redeemed at the day of the second advent, and is giving us know, time to prepare for that day. Right now, our worship, it is rooted in celebrating the Feast of the Ingathering. It is like a timeline that is displayed to us by God. It's telling us how we are to oppose the events. God, as the Lamb, sacrificed Himself on the cross, and the works of the salvation commenced as that transpired, and it did not end on that note, but He resurrected and became the first fruit of the salvation by His sacrifice. And the Pentecost is the day of the Holy Spirit, and the trumpet beast and He's completing our salvation through all of these sequential events. Today we are congregating to worship God, and we are commemorating the Feast of the Ingathering. Let us not forget about the three important meanings pertaining to it. We do not have a permanent home in this temporal life. We are merely itinerants. Our lives here on this earth is a life of the tabernacle. Let us obey the word and march forward. There is full harvest. After you amass it in your barn, do not be content and be complacent. And do not lead and get situated into a sedentary life. You know, come back down to the tent. And spirit of praying, spirit of gratefulness, let us recover this. Let us be mindful of His salvation, His sacrifice once again. And we have poured away. Let us take respite. Let us take respite for this time and be thankful. Lastly, in the eternal harvest on the second advent, let us not forget this and become a wheat, not a chaff. And at that day, let us happily receive Him, so that we all can enter the gates of heaven, so that we can have a more fulfilling and wholesome praise and exaltation of God, and that we have congregated here, but we can have a better gathering up in heaven, more fulfilling. Let us hold these scriptures to our hearts and pray.